Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Pearl Global Industries Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallab Banerjee, Managing Director of Pearl Global Industries. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, good morning, and I welcome everyone to our quarter one financial year 2023 earnings conference call. Along with me, we have our Group CFO, Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope all of you have gone through our investor presentation uploaded on the exchange and our company website. Since this is our maiden call, I would like to give a brief overview of our company and the industry, followed by a review of the financial performance of the company during the quarter. Pearl Global Industries Limited, founded in 1987, is a leading apparel manufacturer offering end-to-end sustainable solutions to the fashion industry. We have a multinational presence across eight countries, India, Indonesia, Bangladesh, Vietnam for manufacturing, and USA, Spain, Hong Kong, and U.K. for client servicing and designing. Our diversified product offering across categories includes knitted tees, polos and dresses, woven shirts, blouses and dresses, denim jeans, outerwear jackets, active performance wear, and athleisure wear. And we produce for men, women, and toddlers. Our 75+ designers across these eight locations lead the journey for us from concept to the finished product. Pearl Global has a well-diversified and de-risked manufacturing base with 22 dedicated manufacturing units. Our total capacity to manufacture is around 82 million units per year. Some of the key clientele includes Kohl's, Macy's, Tommy Hilfiger, Gap, Old Navy, Next, Nordstrom, Muji, amongst others. In other words, we are a one-stop solution for the needs of a retailer. Our goal is to innovate the way fashion is created across the globe, and we are constantly working towards our mission to exceed customer and shareholders' expectations. We do this by strategically driving sustainability, technological advancement, and bringing innovative solutions. Our design and product development team analyze the fashion trends and use modern technologies of 3D rendering. We do use 3D tools like Flow, Browseware, and Optitex to craft our products. Each of our locations are equipped with these digital technologies. Talking about the industry, after a subdued start of financial year 21, owing to the COVID-19 lockdown restrictions, garment exports did witness a fast turnaround. This was despite the high cotton prices and the supply chain delays arising due to the container shortages. Especially the US market had a pent-up demand for apparel as the economy opened up post-COVID. Whereas now, for a short run, we do have a challenging macro environment globally. These are due to abnormally high rates of inflation and huge inventory backup with large US retailers. The looming energy crisis in Europe on the backdrop of Ukraine war. And at the same time, on the other hand, we are looking at a continuous shift of apparel manufacturing out of China. Other Asian countries will continue to gain from this shift. Vietnam, Bangladesh, Myanmar, and India has been steadily gaining due to this shift, while Pakistan and Sri Lanka, due to their own economic turmoil, the exporters would get a mixed bag of benefits and concerns in the short run. Now, Indian textile and garment exporters have a significant opportunity to grow with the shift of business from China. This is both due to the Xinjiang cotton, which is banned, and its own recent policies. There is high likelihood of India signing an FTA agreement with Europe and UK. The other government initiatives like the PLI, Mitra, ROCTL schemes, the free trade agreements provide a huge impetus aiding to the growth opportunities. With favorable Indian demographics and the industry dynamics, India is capable to position itself as a global textiles hub. India textile exports are expected to grow at 11% CAGR to reach about $65 billion by 2026 from a pre-COVID level of $36 billion happened in 2019. Now for Pearl, despite these headwinds on account of high inventory levels in USA retailers and the H1 being a weaker season for Indian apparel industry, that is due to the seasonality of the product that we made in India, we are able to, despite these headwinds, we are able to clock the highest ever revenue in quarter one since our inception. Now, this was facilitated by increased volumes aided by the new customer acquisition, better product mix, and our existing ones with an improved efficiency of our operations. Our multinational presence works as our strongest synergy as customers continuously aim to shift sourcing from China to other countries. We envision a high or a growing order book for the year of on the backdrop of these tailwinds. The new customer acquisition, continued improved performance, and H2, the second half of the year, being seasonally stronger quarters, thereby yielding a growth in our financial 23 versus financial year 22. Our multinational presence ensures we are present in two of the four major textile and apparel supply chains of the world. We aim to act as an end-to-end supply chain provider who can do concept to the store. This helps us in increasing the wallet share from our existing customers. Our endeavor is to improve our return ratios, and we are making conscious efforts to make that happen. Our partnership model strategy is working for our planned growth initiatives. In the partnership model, role of Pearl Global and the partner are clearly defined, where Pearl provides the working capital investment, the designing and product development, appoints an execution and monitoring teams at the partner's factories, procures fabric, and is responsible for optimum capacity utilization of these partner facilities. Whereas the partner undertakes the capex, and we have a contract with the partner on per piece basis. The partnership model provides the following synergies. It helps us to faster capacity planning or ramping up the capacities as required. The capacities in proximity to the supply chain areas, thereby making us asset light as we improve our return ratios. Our strength lies in all these mentioned factors, coupled with strong customer relationship, setting us apart from the others. For our way forward, in nutshell, our next leg of growth will be driven by the following strategies: new customer acquisition, geographical expansion, more automation in our facilities, optimum utilization of the existing facilities, growth through partnership facilities, and explore PLI scheme for our growth engine in India. With this, I would like now to hand over the call to Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, our Group CFO, who will run us through the financial performance of the company for this quarter.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our first ever earning conference call for Quarter 1 FY23. Coming to the financial and operational performance of the company, we have reported the highest ever Quarter 1 performance since inception. Our strong financial performance during the quarter was aided by improved product mix, increased contribution from in-house manufacturing and partnership facilities. And improved performance in Bangladesh and Vietnam factories have been the key driver of the growth in this quarter. On a consolidated basis, total income for Quarter 1 FY23 increased by 95% year-on-year to Rs. 851 crore, facilitated by improved volume due to better capacity utilization and increased contribution from partnership facility. Partnership factory contribution to overall revenue increased from 2.8% in Quarter 1 FY23 to 21.3% in Quarter 1 FY23, translating to 1.9 million pieces on a standalone basis. EBITDA for Quarter 1 FY23 increased by 370 bips year-on-year to 7.9%. PAT for the quarter stood at Rs. 36.4 crore versus a loss of 0.8 crore in Quarter 1 FY22. The increase in profitability is due to improvement in margins aided by operating leverage, better product mix, and improved capacity utilization. Going ahead, we are confident on the industry growth, and we believe that our company is best placed to capture the larger pie of this opportunity. Thank you. We shall now open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Keshav Kumar from Raksan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Congrats for a great quarter. Sir, I just wanted to ask if our partnership model is similar to what our related party PDS is doing with the sourcing business, or is there a difference?
Mr. Ramsey, sorry, I missed your name. Yes, thank you for the question. Our model is definitely different from PDS model. In PDS, basically, it's a more of a trading and sourcing model. Their business in terms of trading would be, I would say, close to about 80% plus, whereas we present ourselves to our customers as a manufacturer. We do have the partners who are working for us where certain capacities or certain factories we undertake for our production, which is completely dedicated to us. So that capacity is completely dedicated throughout the year for us as a manufacturer. Whereas in trading, it is as per the need. I hope that difference is clear to you.
Yes, sir. And sir, when we onboard a partner, do we have any return metrics in mind, or are we trying to build our business for now and not like scale and not focus that much on the returns? I mean, I'm sure that our geography of where we get the partner would be essential. So just trying to understand, like, how do we, if there's an internal model that we follow.
So let me add to the last question that you had. See, this kind of model do exist in countries like Bangladesh and Vietnam, where we have partners who have been working for us with a dedicated capacity for us for some time, for more than a couple of years, I would say. And in India, this concept is still quite new. So we have started with at least one arrangement or two arrangement at this point of time, where we take that capacity and feed continuously throughout the year, and we develop it as our own factory. That's the way that we work with our partners. In terms of return, definitely, as we have mentioned, that we do have a contract on per-piece basis, where it is beyond a simple subcon. It is a little bit of profit sharing is included into it, but we do our arrangement on basis of a number of pieces that we do. Sanjay, you want to add something?
Yeah, just to add, you know, we do, like you said, you know, there is a, we do have an internal benchmarking standard where we are looking at, you know, overall return on capital employed for any incremental partnership arrangement to be close to 20%. That's the target. We really work towards it. So this is normally the threshold hurdle, you know, which we try to say, you know, at least at a 15% plus it should start, and then, you know, we reach to that level.
Helpful, really helpful, sir. So secondly, the bulk of our manufacturing, as per the presentation, comes via Bangladesh. So I'm just trying to understand, if the EU-FTA is indeed signed, would it be detrimental to the production via Bangladesh versus India, or would it not affect us detrimentally?
So you see, like, you know, in terms of our turnovers from the respective countries, if I look at it, close to about 70% comes from India and Bangladesh, both in between, I would say, between 30% and 40%. It should vary. So sometimes, like this particular quarter, if you see that India is slightly more, almost close to 38% of the turnover. So we will continue to maintain that. Of course, Bangladesh, we did recently one acquisition, so the percentage will grow up by a couple of points. But more or less, it would still remain similar. India and Bangladesh doing about almost anywhere between 70% to 75%, close to 80%. And Vietnam and Indonesia will do the balance.
So thanks, sir, for asking my questions. For answering my questions, I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we would like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Hemant Shah from Ada Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity, and congratulations for a great set of numbers. And as you explained, the efficiency is visible in the return ratios as well as the EBITDA. So great congratulations to the team, actually.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have two questions. Now, since we have done great sales in Q1, and one of the highest sales actually in the history of the company, Q1, and it's a dull quarter. First half is usually the lean quarter. Is it fair to assume that we can comfortably do a top line of, say, around 3,100 crore or so for FY23?
So I think, you know, this is where we are really looking at it. I think in terms of the number, definitely this is in our target line of achieving crossing 3,000 crore in this financial year. The quarter one has been really very encouraging, and it's moving in this direction with all other facilities really, you know, coming into place and the utilization improving. We are quite hopeful, you know, of going in that direction.
Okay, great. Because usually, even if we now do not grow for the next three quarters, I mean, we can comfortably achieve 3,000 crores since the Q1 was extraordinarily strong. So what was the reason for this traction in Q1? I mean, if you can just elaborate.
So as I mentioned, like we had all the three strategy working for us. Like, you know, we were acquiring new customers.
Right.
We were going for better efficiency. That means utilizing more of our capacities. And we also had the better mix. So where the per piece value or the per unit value goes up, the customers.
So that
we continue to do.
Question. Okay, that is going to continue, the per mix revenue, I mean the value added products will contribute more going forward, do you think so, sir?
That's our endeavor, definitely.
Okay, great.
It definitely helped that US market had a very high demand for that particular period. So it's how the market changes, like, you know, everything is not in control, in our control, but then this is the strategy and this is the endeavor and this is the way that we are progressing.
Sure. I can understand. Sure. So my second question would be, can this margins of 7.8 or around 8% level be maintained? Because the, I mean, if we try to pursue this 3,000 crore of turnover, the efficiency and the utilization will be definitely good. So is it fair to assume that margins should be in this range for the whole year? I'm not talking of any quarter.
See, our whole plan and strategy is made for that.
Okay.
As I said, like there could be certain risks in the market or in the macro factors that we are seeing.
Sure.
Otherwise, if it doesn't go overboard, like this risk doesn't become too much or it doesn't go too much out of control, we are on that journey and that's our endeavor.
Great. All right. And if you can just give some more elaboration on this China plus one strategy, since we are located in India, Vietnam, Indonesia, Bangladesh, and I'm sure we are witnessing some positive traction with respect to China plus one strategy. And if you can just elaborate something, what kind of traction we can see or what kind of new customers or volumes, added volumes we can see going forward.
See, due to the geopolitical situations, like U.S. definitely brought out policies in which they were discouraging sourcing from country of origin, China. Major being the Xinjiang cotton, which got banned in U.S. So the cotton products started moving the fastest, I would say. That is still continuing. Most of the U.S. customers have moved their garment or apparel of cotton in maximum out of China. The one who have got a strong supply chain or a strong sourcing base, so they are able to move faster. The companies which did not have or do not have a very strong sourcing arms, so they are following. So that trend will continue. Because see, China used to be for U.S. market almost like I think about 35 plus billion dollars. So it's a huge market. So it will continue to move for some time. Apart from that, there are certain ones, the big ones who have very established sourcing arms. So they are trying to now work on the non-cotton product as well. Now, the countries who are immediately benefited out of this is definitely Vietnam and Bangladesh, which numbers can tell you, like, you know, you can see that they have grown at a very higher percentage compared to other countries like Myanmar, India, and Sri Lanka, Pakistan so far. So this trend will continue. And as Indian policies are becoming better and FTA discussions are on, and with the Indian demographics that we have, we do expect some more investment coming into India, and India should benefit as well.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you for this elaborate answer. I'll come back in the queue, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nath.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rishi Gupta from Goldstone Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Rishi Gupta, please go ahead and ask your question, sir. It looks like your line is in the mute mode.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, sir. We're unable to hear you. In the meanwhile, we'll move to our next question. Before we do that, we'd like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Parth Desai from HCM. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I have a quick question on the capacity utilization. So what's the current capacity utilization, let's say for F22 and the fourth quarter, if you could share this number?
You're asking for FY22, that means 2022-23, this, what kind of capacity utilization that we will be able to do?
What the capacity utilization was for let's say the last year and this quarter?
So if you see the way that we have established our factories and the partner factories, we do have a capacity of almost about 80 million plus. So out of that, we are at this point of time in the range of 65% utilization, I would say. So definitely we are growing towards from 65 to 75. That's the kind of, you know, growth plan that we had for this year, and we are continuing on that journey. By capacity, I mean the infrastructure that we have created. But we are not utilizing all the machines or all the workforce like we have not put in as of yet. So we can, without any major capex investment, we can go towards this number. So that's what I mean by the capacity.
Okay. That okay. So essentially without any significant capex, you can get to 80 million type capacity.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's helpful. And then, you know, in terms of, let's say, geographic revenue, you shared, I think, manufacturing revenue, but from a, let's say, a client perspective, is a majority of your client base in the U.S., and is there scope for geographic expansion as well?
So from the customer point of view, our major business is U.S. at this point of time. We would like to have a better percentage mix across the globe, but what we experienced during the pandemic period and just after the pandemic period, there was a huge demand which US came in first. Europe still was slow, and then the war happened, which slowed down a little bit more, and also we saw that Japan and Australia has been really slow in terms of their demand for the last almost if I look at 1 to 2 years period. So that definitely would change. So to give you numbers, like at this point of time, I think in this last 4 or 5 quarters, if I look at our presence in India, in US would be maximum, would be more than 80% or more towards 90, I think 85 plus. So that should change a little bit as we go forward.
And then for your follow-up question on that would be, your most of your clients are marquee global clients, like let's say Tommy Hilfiger or Calvin Klein or, you know, even Ralph Lauren. So why do they, let's say, give you orders only for the US and not, is it something to do with, I don't know, some trade agreements or?
So, no, the clients that you mentioned, like for example, Tommy Hilfiger, have got a big presence in Europe as well. So we are, of course, like we started with them with the U.S. manufacturing, and now they are starting to source for the Europe as well from us. So the brands which are global, definitely we would like to serve them across the globe. And then apart from that, there are other customers like Primark in UK or the Inditex Group, which is the Zara and Bershka and all. So we are quite big with them as well. And in Japan, there is Muji. In Australia, there are Target, Kmart, and Big W. So those are also in our portfolio. So those are also, we are seeing substantial growth. as well as now those markets or the economies are opening up in terms of the retailers are opening up more number of stores. They were quite shut for a long period of time due to COVID.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great performance in West Coast.
Thank you so much, Mr. Vasai.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So as you mentioned, our majority of business comes from US. So any discussions with the customers, because there is ongoing recession, any slump in demand which we are expecting? Any guidance on that?
Recession or not recession, I think apparel is normally like after once your food and petroleum is taken care of, I think apparel is the next need, which will continue to happen. That is point number one. Point number two is that at this point of time, US is undergoing a high inflation and fear of recession. So let's see how that evolves. We are impacted more in the short run due to the inventory level or high inventory level with some of our customers, which definitely is the result of the inflation and to a certain extent maybe the fear of recession. So because of which what we are seeing is some of our clients like from US, which are the large format retailers, they have cut down their buys by anywhere between 10 to 30%. We do not have a big exposure with very large format retailers like Target or Walmart in a big way, Walmart USA I mean, where this cut or the inventory situation is even more steep. So that is why some of the large exporters of the world, like the Taiwanese or Koreans, are majorly affected at this point of time. We are seeing a lack of demand from the kind of customer that we work with, that is the Gap Inc. or the Kohl's or the Macy's, where anywhere the reduction is between 10 to 30% on the seasonal basis that we see in terms of their booking. As I said, like, you know, part of it is getting compensated because the Japan market, the Australia market, and is opening up more. The demand is going up in those markets in terms of, in comparison, if I would say, like what I have seen in the last couple of years. And also simultaneously, as I said, like we continue to add a new customer in our profile so that we can continue to utilize our capacities. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah.
Mr. Kothari?
Yeah, yeah. Also, I wanted to know, sir, what would be our current revenue from the partnership facility?
So, like, you know, Mr. Sanjay mentioned a number, like, you know, the percentage in this year, what we saw grew up from almost about 2% level to high 20.
Yeah, it's on a standalone basis. The percentage grew from 2% to 20% in India. So standalone revenue is 320 crore plus. So that's, you know, the region, 50, 60 crore we have now in India. That is the contribution. If you take overall 851, you know, I think it will come around 7% is coming from the partnership factories of India.
Okay. And in the opening comments, you mentioned that improvement in margins was due to product mix, operating leverage, and better capacity utilization. So wanted to know, how are we trying to increase? So first of all, what is our current average selling price? How are we trying to improve it? And can you please elaborate regarding the product mix change which we are trying to achieve?
So I won't go into the detail of numbers in this, but I can give you the concept conceptually, like what is happening. We have a presence, as I told you, like almost 20% of our total revenue is coming from Indonesia and Vietnam, where we do a lot of high-end products, a lot of value-added products like outerwear, jackets, high-end athletic wear. So those are of high values, and those are also supplied to the customers like who are looking for high value product or high input in the garments. Similarly, like in India, Bangladesh, it is generally like we are trying to upgrade our facilities to serve better and go for you know, better price points compared to what we have done in past. But that also depends, like, you know, one is our intent and the second would be how the macro factors are playing out, like how much of those customers are buying and what kind of volumes they are driving. So yes, so this is how it plays. The outerwear, the high-end athletic wear, the high-end technical garments that we make out of Indonesia and Vietnam, definitely those have increased quite a lot. And that is shown in some of the results. And also in Bangladesh or in India, like, you know, the products which get a higher FOB, like more of the mix from knits to denim or certain outerwears, jackets and all. So that continues. I would say that will happen seasonally. And in some seasons, like, we'll see a mix which would be better. Although, like, as a company, we are focused to increase our revenue and the product mix to get a better margins.
Okay. That's great. And in India, which brands do we sell? Can you just name them or
the names that I mentioned, most of these are in India. That means for US market, we do Kohl's, we do Gap, Tommy Hilfiger, we do for markets of Australia, we do Target, Kmart, Big W. For UK, we do Next, Primark, and other brands. Same for even Japan, we do Muji. So it's a mix of brands. Like, we try to service these brands or these companies from multi-location and for multi-product. So that's the strategy that we work on.
Okay.
It's not a particular set of brand only for a particular set of country. That's not our strategy.
Okay. Currently, our 55% comes from woven and 45% from knit. So what was this share 5 years back, if you can give a sense of that?
So traditionally, wovens was more. During the pandemic period, we saw that the knit demand was more and we enhanced our capacity for knit products as well. But I think this 55-45 is a ratio that is the capacity that we have the readiness for. Now, depending on what is in demand. So you see, like, you know, for Pearl, we go to the customer as a multi-product vendor or supplier. So depending on the need, we can flex us. A certain percentage of our factories can do both the product and can switch the lines. So that's the kind of, you know, technological advancement that we spoke about in our you know, this first speech is that. So those are some of the strategies and I would say innovation that we are working towards.
And knit is, of course, higher margin business, right?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. And so you mentioned that around 70% of the revenues comes from India and Bangladesh, whereas our capacity in India is around 28 and in Bangladesh 45. So our capacity utilization in India is significantly higher in Bangladesh, or our product mix is better in India manufacturing?
So one is and the capacity, the number of factories that we have and where we can ramp up to that 80-82 million without very significant capex. So that is the capacity that when we speak about capacity. And depending on the product and depending on the need of the customers, we do products. So India, basically, like, we are very strong in women's products, in the lighter weight fabrics, that means the shirting fabrics, both for women's and men's and kids. And we do a lot of knit jersey products also in India. In Bangladesh, the trend has been more towards a heavier weight of fabrics. That means denim, the pant weights, the heavy drills and twills, those kind of fabrics capacities more in Bangladesh. Now, from customer point of view, these are the bulk of the buys. So that is why India and Bangladesh, we do have about 70% of our capacity and 70% of our turnover is coming from. Now, if I go for a particular product mix, like during the pandemic period, we saw a decline in the bottoms, in bottom wear. That means the pants and denims were selling less. Now, as the pandemic has like coming to an end and the markets are opening up, that demand for pants and people are going out to the offices and outside. So pants and denims are going up. So that kind of, you know, variation season to season will continue. But in majority, in a big picture, like if you talk of Pearl, we are poised to deliver multiple product to the customers, and we come to the strategy so that our capacity utilization is optimum for both the countries. So we won't say that, you know, on one season India would be slow or Bangladesh will be for more and Bangladesh will slow down and India will grow up. It is not like that. So we know what is the capacity, how to go to the customers, what kind of designs they need. But yes, general trend, the macro trend, as I spoke about, the denim and pants were low during the pandemic. Now that is coming back. So those kind of changes you will see.
Okay.
Mr. Kothari, may we request you to return to the queue, please? There are several participants waiting for the turn.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to know, considering we are at 65% capacity utilization, so we can fairly say that FY23 would be taken care of without any, you know, need for capex as such. So I just wanted to know, are we planning to utilize the cash flow to pay off some of our debt, because we have got around like 500 plus crore debt. And what is the level that the management is looking into, which they feel comfortable, you know, having in balance sheet?
Yeah.
Hello.
So, hello. Yeah. Thank you. So, just to answer your the question on the debt and the cash part, I think the first thing you talk about the capacity, right? So, I think the FY23 capacity existing one is sufficient to take care of the revenue growth what we are looking at it. So there is no need for any capex to build that.
Major capex.
Many what major capex. You see, the will always be, there will be a, you know, maintenance or some additional expansion will keep on happening. You know, some laundry machine to be added, some kind of a, you know, specialized machine technology has to be added. So those things will keep on continuing, but not the major one, like, you know, any greenfield or brownfield acquisitions really do add on the capacity. That's the first part. The second part you mentioned about the debt component. So if you really look at our debt, you know, composition of our debt, you know, in terms of the long term and the short term, the long term debt is, you know, as we speak, is 115 crore only. And the rest is all about the short term capital, which is, you know, is a self-liquidating by itself, you know, because it's largely represented by the current assets of the company. So that is in line with the growth of the company. If you see the 95% growth in this quarter, and overall, if you see FY21 to FY22, also we saw a significant growth, and that's where the short-term debt has gone high. Now, having the cash and bank balance is only gives help, you know, the company which is a growing like ours. It always provides an optionality of really looking at various opportunity which can come across, whether it's a value buying or it is the need for working capital for any good opportunity in terms of the business expansion, in terms of, you know, the volume growth in the current set of scheme. So we do not have any plan of retiring any debt from the cash and bank balances which we have as of now in our balance sheet. It is to bring more optionality, and also it gives a financial resilience to really meet our customer requirement well on time in any situation. So given the context of long-term and short-term competition, where the long-term is only 115 crore at a group level, we don't feel any need of retiring those debt as of now.
Okay. So have we, you know, front-loaded any inventory as such? Because the working capital looks quite large as such, as in the working capital debt when it comes to.
So the working capital, see, it's always a, as a percentage of, if you really look at it, number of days, if you see net working capital days compared to FY21 to FY22, it has actually come down. It has not increased, though the reduction is only by 3 to 5 days, but still it is a reduction. So as such, there is no inventory pileup which has happened, you know, in anticipation of the order, because in our case, you know, we procure the fabric only when there is backed with a firm order from the customer. So that's the, whatever the inventory is there, it is likely to be shipped in the coming 90 to 120 days time period. So there is no aging, is very clearly monitored in that sense. So this, all the inventory as a percentage wise has actually improved only in the, compared to last financial years. So that's where we are.
Mr. Iyer, maybe a question.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Iyer.
To please limit the questions to 2 per participants. We'll take a next question from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. If you could just help explain the last 2 quarters, Q1 of this year and 4Q. I mean, you had high revenues in both the quarters, so capacity utilization would be similar, in fact, higher previously. But the margin difference is quite huge. I mean, the previous quarter was 4.4, this time it's 7.9. So what could be the reasons for such volatility between 2 neighboring quarters?
Right. I appreciate it. So one of the reason what we have seen is that, you know, I think Mr. Banerjee mentioned that, you know, in terms of the product mix which we have in overseas countries like Vietnam, the outerwear, the FOB price realization has been a pretty good, improved. So there is a good amount of the product mix which has changed in Vietnam, which has really led to higher FOB and then resulting into higher margin. That's the one major contributor. The second is, you know, the style which were manufactured in quarter four, which vis-a-vis what got shipped in quarter one. Normally we don't make a comparison from quarter four to quarter one because quarter four is largely summer and spring, but to really address that question, you know, because some of the product, as we mentioned, I think in the last quarter also in some of the discussion, that, you know, those partnership factories were actually starting the, you know, the first phase of production. So initially it was very important to ensure that, you know, the ramp up of the production lines is there so that, you know, the workers get used to producing those many number of pieces. So initially the pieces which were produced were on a lower margin side rather than the higher margin. That's about India. And in Bangladesh also, if you really see from quarter four perspective, I think the product mix has slightly changed and the efficiency has also come in. The volume which is shipped from the new factory has really gone up, which has resulted in operating efficiency really kicking in. And this is precisely, you know, our whole thing was thinking was there, you know, in last time when you presented that, you know, in a going forward, I think all this factor is likely to play out and will definitely help the company in improving the margins.
Right. Second question is, Mr. Banerjee, if you could just, you know, one of the questions which on everyone's mind is, obviously, how deep is the U.S. issue? I mean, it is just a 1 or 2 quarter kind of impact, or will it be longer? So if you could throw some views on that. And second is, in that context of those issues, I mean, how is Pearl placed? I mean, can we see this quarterly performance that you've shown in first quarter, can that be suddenly impacted in another quarter by, you know, suddenly lower revenues and similarly very low margins? Or do you think you have been able to, you know, kind of mitigate that significantly by alternate sourcing and various other aspects? So you can touch upon that.
Yeah. So as I just mentioned, in U.S. market, like the big customers that we have, like the Kohl's, the Macy's, the PVH, so they are projecting at this point of time a drop in numbers anywhere between 10 to 30%. So at the same time, like, our focus is to grow the other markets so that we do not get impacted completely due to this drop that is coming in. So that is point number one that we are working upon. And the other benefit, as I mentioned, is that thankfully Pearl has got the option of multiple countries. So the need of the product and the diversification of our production base, like for example, Bangladesh has got a duty advantage for the European market already. Or the FTAs that we are talking about, which we are definitely talking to our customers and asking them to build up the base from now. So those are some of the mitigation strategies that we are working upon. And this particular drop, what I see is for the next two quarters. So Q2 order book is already there with us. Q3 is also like now almost like confirmed or getting confirmed at this point of time. So we see a slight dip, but you see like we have the huge tailwind of utilizing more of our capacity, increasing with the new customers and establishing ourselves with the old ones. So that momentum is continuing. So if we talk about year over year, definitely the base has grown and the number of growth will be there. But yes, what we would have expected if the market has been normal, then we would be less than that. We would have gone into a much bigger number if the market had have continued to be like what it was.
No, on this, so, just to clarify, so obviously on revenue front, you're saying there might be a slight dip depending, like 3Q or whatever, 4Q. But from the margin standpoint, do you see a risk to your margins from what you've just delivered, or you know, that part you can mitigate through various aspects?
So in terms of margin also, like what Sanjay just mentioned, the challenges that we had are like of the new facilities or the new, whether our in-house facilities in Bangladesh or some of the partnership factories. Like as we start a new lines, production lines and all, the first few months or quarters, definitely it is slow. And then it picks up. The efficiency level goes up. So as Pearl, our endeavor would be to continue to grow on those efficiencies and thus deliver you a better EBITDA or a PAT. So that's something, the journey that we have undertaken, and you will see that that continuity.
Got it. Great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much, Mr. Singhal.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Mohit Khanna from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, sir, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. I just wanted to understand a little bit more what's happening on the US side of the business. You said that you already have the quarter three bookings. So just talking more of a little bit more of that. So is it something that you are seeing in terms of rates that are coming down, or there's a simple volume hit by the retailers? That would be the first question, and come back.
So yes, the volumes are coming down. In terms of rate, what happens is certain portion is market driven. If like the big players like Walmart or a Target or some of the other big players drop their number, then suddenly market has got more capacity and less orders. So during that time, definitely the price becomes more competitive. But thankfully in our industry, normally the cost or the selling cost has got a proportionality to the raw material price. So the customers normally don't expect us to absorb the raw material prices or like the increase in raw material price. And again, the second part is that when the demand becomes a little softer, even the raw material prices also comes down. So we don't expect that just to survive or just to have the capacity filled, like we have to really take a huge hit on our margins. Some definitely it would be when you are trying to utilize most of your capacity and maybe a little bit more competitive to get ensure that. But I don't see a major change, a major fluctuation in that.
Understood. And when you said that these retailers are clogged up with inventory glut, so to say, can you pinpoint certain any categories where you see the inventory glut is little bit more than the others? I mean the winter wears or the summer wears, or maybe in the kids or the women's section?
Yeah, see, like, you know, historically, if we look at U.S. market in 2021, what was happening was definitely the pent-up demand was high, and people were going into the shops, and most of the goods were delayed at that point of time to reach the store. Most of the retailers went into a holiday season of U.S., which is one of the largest season, with about 50%, 60%, 70% of the inventory in stock. So that means almost 30 to 50% of the goods had not reached them at the point of time when they went on sale for the holiday season. So those goods were received by them in the month of January, February, and even in March. Holiday season is supposed to be October, November, and December. And by March, definitely it is spring. And the goods for holiday and spring is very different. So most of the U.S. retailers preserve those goods, and they are bringing those goods in this particular holiday, they plan to bring in this particular holiday season. So that's one impact that we saw, that the demand started slowing down. And then the cascading effect happens in the spring season as well. So those are the two seasons which we are seeing majorly this correction would need to happen. From the summer onwards, I think they should be able to plan better, and most probably they would be exhausting this stocks which is lying there. So if you talk of today, the U.S. market, there are very high markdowns in most of the retailers to liquidate most of this inventory, because for a retailer, like, to have so much of inventory is also killing, isn't it? So that's what is undergoing at this point of time. August is an important month because this is back to school for them. And it's a big season again for the U.S. retailers. So let's see how this particular month goes. And we should be able to, this is the month where they should be able to liquidate most of their spring-summer inventory that they have.
Any categories in specific?
Category-wise, if I talk of, category-wise, if you need to get into a detail, then during the pandemic and post-pandemic, immediate post-pandemic, there was a huge demand in athleisure product. That means those heavy nets and all, a lot of these brands have bought, which then immediately they had to cut down. So they have asked us to reduce as much as possible or hold some inventory for them, some numbers, smaller numbers, but yeah, from this year to next year. So those kind of things they have requested, and those decisions are on. On the other hand, the product which I just mentioned in earlier part of the call is that the bottom or denim, which was not selling much because most of the work was happening on video calls and all, where the tops were more important than the pants and denims. So those kind of goods, definitely we saw an uptick in the demand, and which is still continuing.
Okay. Thank you so much. I can back in the queue.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Khanna.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shubham Jain from Rivanta Funds Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, I had one simple question, taking on from the earlier participant, on the quarter-on-quarter movement of margin. You mentioned that the outerwear contribution was a little higher this quarter. So on an H2, H1 basis, will the margins again start moving downwards because H2 will start serving a summer spring where the outerwear will be lower? So even though we have a higher revenue in the second half, but our margins can be a little subdued?
So you see, this is where a company like Pearl is able to make a balance, because on one hand, we have the outerwear production that we majorly undertake in Vietnam, Indonesia, and some in Bangladesh, and which is very much in this particular quarters is heavy.
Right.
Because now all the goods are getting shipped for the holiday season.
Right.
And then comes the spring-summer product, which is majorly coming out of, a lot of fashion goes out of India, and some out of Bangladesh and Indonesia as well, which comes because of our presence in all the four locations. So we are able to balance that. And going forward, we are more confident that we have the right customer mix and the right product mix, we should be able to balance it better. So that's the opportunity that that Pearl has been working on for many years. And now those factories are able to churn out these expectations.
Okay.
So you will see that, like, you know, one season, like, you know, when the winter season, the fall and holiday margins, like, which would be coming out of from the outerwear, and spring, summer, it will be coming out from the other products, like the fashion tops, dresses, the pants. So that's the fluctuation that we can absorb.
Okay. So to frame this in a different way, right, what I'm trying to understand is, essentially, can we... we've done an 8% margin this quarter, and there's an improvement of 400 bits more or less at gross margin level quarter on quarter, which has helped us improve our margin. So in the second half, when we'll do a summer spring kind of collection, can we still expect to do this 8% kind of margin, or it will be lower?
You see, like, you know, as I mentioned, like, the Vietnam acquisition had happened about 4 years back, 4 to 5 years back. So
yes.
Which has played. So that's why, like, our this particular H1 numbers used to be affected earlier, because the non-existence of the Vietnam profit that was there. So if that has come up, so that doesn't mean that we should lose out on the benefits that we already had in the second half, where, like, our India fashions and Bangladesh fashions would continue to give us that margin.
Okay. So you believe it can sustain in the second half?
Yes. As of now, we are on that path. As I mentioned, like, the risk is definitely, like, if another war happens or another that kind of big, I would say, macro changes. If it doesn't happen, then we are on our path.
Got it. My second question was just an accounting question. In our segment that we report, there is an other piece which is around 130, 140 crores of revenue, but the profit is quite volatile. So what gets accounted for over there? Because we did like 4 crores of loss in the first quarter 22 and the fourth quarter 22. But this quarter we reported a 12 to 13 crore profit at an EBIT level.
Actually, the segmental part of others, you know, it's include our overseas company like Vietnam, and there are certain standalone revenue also get combined there. So, actually speaking, our segmental, you know, there is a line item for intercompany elimination. So, if you look at the structure of our transaction, you know, probably the segmental will not give the clear picture unless we do the intercompany elimination and reach a final number there. Currently, the regulation requires us to put in this way, but if you really look at it, you know, because most of our sale from the Bangladesh and, you know, Vietnam, Indonesia is built through Hong Kong entity, and that's why, you know, the other category will have certain portion of the sale which is being routed directly. So it does not really reflect in that way, you know, the segmental allocation in terms of the profitabilities, unless we do the intercompany elimination.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take a last question from the line of Nirmal Shah from Seraphic Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations, sir, for the good set of numbers. Just I had two questions. Just to summarize what you mentioned during your opening comment, is it fair to assume that Bangladesh, Vietnam, and Indonesia, from a margin seasonality point of view, the first half would be at peak and probably second half would be at a little bit lesser than what you show in the first half, while the India operations would achieve its peak margins in the second half of the financial year? Is it fair to agree?
See, that's the trend of the industry. Like, as when I was explaining to I think Mr. Jain earlier, was that if you talk of the seasonality of the market, then these markets are poised to do this kind of product. Now, as a company, our endeavor would be to go for better margins, better product with better customers. So, independent of the season or the location. So, yes, like what you're talking about are the general setup of the industry and the countries. And of course, then we come in where we have to work and we have to build up our strategies so that we can deliver the best on all the four quarters.
Right. So just follow up to that, like when we'll enter the second half of current year, where probably the cotton basket would be significant from an overall spring-summer collection. And if at all the various forecasts, what they are talking about, some 40 to 60% sort of a drop in cotton price, if at all, you know, that scenario plays out, then despite, let's say, you retain the similar volumes, can there be an impact on the top line? And if that happens, how will your profitability overall look like? If the cotton prices really fall through once the cotton arrivals start coming from the month of October?
So, Mr. Shah, like, you know, what happens in the apparel product when these big retailers are sourcing from us, so they do a lot of nominated fabrics and they do a lot of negotiation along with the vendors. So that is why a direct impact of cotton, major impact doesn't come or should not come. Whereas if you talk of a spinner or a textile fabric manufacturer, maybe I think more in the spinner's case, like it definitely would affect more. My guess, I am not an expert on that. But generally for apparel manufacturer, our negotiation is to pass on the raw material prices fluctuation to the retailers. And at most, we have to absorb it for one season. That means the order has been placed, and by the time that we are booking our raw materials, if there is a fluctuation, which is normally a very small percentage or should be low percentage.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand over the floor back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. However, should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact our team or NCA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on the call.
Thank you. On behalf of Pearl Global Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.